Right Side Radio. We are back. Phil Williams here in the Right Side Studio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. So, hey, listen, I gave that monologue a moment ago, and you know, no fooling. I am sick to death of seeing people kowtow to the demands of liberal progressives, like, you must kneel. I mean, we saw some, by the way, there were some awful videos of, you will kneel and denounce your white privilege. Shut up. But this, it gets worse when you realize it's not just that it's happening, but that people are actually giving in to it. And it gets worse even when government that is supposed to represent us, government that is supposed to act in our best interest, that government goes woke. Like, you know, in an effort to be inclusive, we've decided to yield to the less than 1% of the nation that screams on TikTok. That's where we are right now. So you may have heard yesterday about Kamala Harris. I'll be honest with you. I'm really not sure what the job description of vice president is anymore. I heard one time when John McCain was running for president, he was asked by Jay Leno. I remember watching this, and Jay Leno was asking him, "So you're running for president, but if you don't win the primary, would you be willing to take a role as vice president?" And he said, "Well, the vice president's job is literally just to sit around and make sure the president doesn't die and to attend foreign state funerals. So no." That was his version of the job description. Well, apparently it's also to chair ridiculous meetings and to make sure you virtue signal on the behalf of the administration, because that's where we are with Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is the most, well, I don't know. It's a close race. Well, you know what? I look at the whole, dang. Okay, never mind. I'm going to have to just backtrack here. I was about to say she's the most over her head member of the administration, but I'm looking at, in my mind, I immediately went to Pete Buttigieg. And then I also went to Alejandro Mayorkas, and then I went to Jennifer Granholm, and then I went, okay, never mind. The whole administration's over their head. But the reality is this. Kamala Harris chaired a meeting yesterday. The meeting was ostensibly a roundtable to discuss the impact of Roe v. Wade's overturn by the Supreme Court on the disabled members of U.S. communities. What? Okay, so the vice president of the United States of freaking America is chairing a roundtable to discuss the negative impacts of Roe v. Wade on people with disabilities. That was a photo op. That was a, oh man, we're going to do this thing. And there she sat at a table with her mask on. And she started off by announcing her pronouns and then pointed out that she is the woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit. I kid you not. Probably a lot of y'all already heard it. I tell you what, let's hear it anyway. Boomer, you got that audio clip? You good to go? Clip one, brother. Go ahead and hit that.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome these leaders for coming in to have this very important discussion about some of the most pressing issues of our time. I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit. And
you know what's also funny? If you watch the video, she had to read that off of a page in front of her. She literally looked at her notes, I assume to remind herself that she is a woman and that she was, in fact, wearing a blue suit.
She actually looked at her blue suit to make sure it was blue.
She did. She looked down at her blue suit to acknowledge to her own mind, was it blue that I put on today? Yes, it was, a very bright blue. So, yeah, thank you for that commentary, Boomer. So here's her quote that went along with it. She continued saying that they were there to discuss justice and equality and freedom. She said she had concerns about how the Supreme Court decision would uniquely impact Americans with disabilities. What? Saying the Dobbs decision and the act of the U.S. Supreme Court was, quote, to take away a constitutional right that had been recognized from the people of America will impact a lot of people and different in some situations, and we need to be responsive to these issues and also look at the voices of all people that will be impacted and the way they will be impacted. Okay. I don't want to say the vice president smokes crack before she has meetings, But I hear that word salad, and I just don't know for a fact that she was right. But the other thing that happened, though, the people went around the table, and much like her, they introduced themselves, they said their preferred pronouns, and they announced what they were wearing and how they were looking. One lady even went on to say that she was wearing a see-through mask so you can see my red lips. Okay, so I put that out on social media this morning on Twitter. I had one of my usual trolls say, they were talking to people who have, they were visually impaired. And I said, no, they were insultingly pandering to people who are visually impaired. That's what's happening. They were kneeling to the woke mob. There is zero benefit to the Vice President of the United States sitting at a meeting discussing abortion and how it's going to impact disabled citizens, announcing her pronouns, and telling the world what she's wearing. If you're blind, you don't care what she's wearing. That's worth noting. So she has to announce to the blind people what she's wearing, who can't see it anyway, so why does it matter? Folks, this is the epitome of virtue signaling. It was sick. It was awful. It was just embarrassing. But I look at it and go, okay, that almost feels funny and pitiful, and you sort of feel bad for her because she's been stuck with this as part of her agenda for the day. But what happens when government goes woke and it takes things to a new level and it comes after you, or it tries to change your life, or it tries to take the purse strings and remove the funding for things that people need? Well, here's a story from AL.com. Dated yesterday. Alabama joins 21 states in suing the Biden administration over transgender policies and school food programs. Here's the background story. On my show, I mentioned this about a month ago, I believe, that the Department of Education, under the Biden administration's executive orders to pursue transgender, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, that the Biden administration's Department of Education is now literally revising its, you know, regulations and is saying that if you are a school that receives money for free and reduced lunches, which, by the way, the vast majority of public schools do, and some private schools do, this is how kids who are underprivileged sometimes get the best meal they're going to have and sometimes even the only meal they're going to have that day. I can remember when I was a kid, my dad was in the military, and after Vietnam, he was assigned to teach ROTC at Ole Miss for a period of time. So we lived in Mississippi briefly in Oxford, and I went to a school where they not only had free and reduced lunch, they had free and reduced breakfast. We would go to class, and we would have a break at like an hour into class, and everybody go to the lunchroom, and everybody got chocolate milk and a banana or something like that. It was because I didn't know it. I went home saying, it's so cool, Mom, we get this big snack. And she said, honey, that's because a lot of those kids don't have breakfast. They can't afford breakfast at their house. I had no idea. Well, how about this? So the Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall, according to AL.com, joined attorneys general from 21 other states in a federal lawsuit today against the Biden administration over new rules that seek to prohibit discrimination against transgender students at schools that receive federal food assistance. Here's our own AG's quote. He said, Joe Biden and his administration are obsessing with imposing their extremist sexual politics on the people of our great nation, adults and children alike, Marshall said in a press release. Their latest plan, which comes at a time of skyrocketing inflation and food costs, as well as a looming recession, is to hold school children's food hostage unless their schools submit to the left's radical gender identity agenda. This immoral, illegal scheme cannot stand. That's our attorney general talking right there. Now, keep in mind, in Alabama, our legislature passed a bill last year, I believe, to require public school students to, you know, use the restrooms and locker rooms designated for the sex shown on their birth certificates. And then we also passed a bill prohibiting schools from allowing students to participate on sports teams that conflict with their biological sex shown on their birth certificate. So we're not playing in Alabama. We're not going down that road. So that means the law of our state says we don't do that. And yet the federal government says, yeah, you know, here's how we're going to work this. You want to keep feeding those kids for lunch who can't afford a meal otherwise because their families are poor? We're not going to give you the money to do it unless you'll change your laws or change your regulations. That's absolutely what happens when government goes woke. Absolutely an abuse of the opportunity for government to govern. Well, okay, I got a stack like that. I got stuff, man. Like what else? Oh, Phil, praise. What could else be the stack you got? Well, how about this? This one was funny. Not. Republican, this is Daily Caller. The Daily Caller dated yesterday. The Daily Caller, brazen discrimination. Senator Ted Cruz grills a Biden official over State Department emails that allegedly exclude hiring of straight white men. Yeah, Boomer, you and I can't get a job at the State Department. This keeps up, man. I know you were just pining away to leave the Right Side Studio and go work as a diplomat in, you know, Moldova or someplace. But you being a straight white dude, it's an uphill climb for you, brother. I'm just saying. I know. If y'all could see Boomer just throwing his hands in the air, his plans, his dreams have been quashed. So Republican Texas Senator Ted Cruz pressed the State Department's chief diversity. Okay, first of all, we have a diversity and inclusion officer at the State Department. Problem number one. Her name is Gina Abercrombie hyphen Winstanley. All right, hyphenated name. Gina Abercrombie Winstanley over an email allegedly excluding straight white men and people of the wrong religion. Oh, that's right, too. I know, Boomer, I know you love the Lord. That's also a strike against you, just so you know.
Man.
I know. It's hurting, man. Don't even fill out the application. Just stop.
No, I'm not going to do it.
The senator argued Tuesday that the department's equity action plan, which changed hiring practices at the agency, is nothing more than brazen discrimination. He goes on to read an email from a senior department official describing reports from candidates who claim they were denied a position, and the email says it, because they were classified as white men or straight white men or not being of the right religion. And he asked Gina Abercrombie hyphen Winstanley, the chief diversity and inclusion officer from the State Department, did you clear this guidance? I've never seen that before, said chief diversity and inclusion officer Gina Abercrombie hyphen Winstanley. The senator said he also suspected that the person being not of a right religion refers to Christians. So white, Christian, straight males need not apply. Well, then he looked at her and said, what would you say you do around here, the senator said. What is your job, if not to stop discrimination? And unfortunately, he said, I believe your job in practice is encouraging discrimination. He said, and this is a manifestation. Is it good for the State Department, good for the United States government to be actively discriminating based on disability, based on race, based on being a straight white man, or based on not being the right religion? Is that good or bad? And her response was, indeed. And so I would say comments do not at all say it is indeed happening. I don't know what that means. I don't even know what that means. I'm going to stop right there. Boomer, take me to a break before I pop a vein, man. I'm just saying. I got more of this. What happens when government goes woke? Number one of the triple dipper. You want to call in? By the way, I would love to hear if anybody out there has experienced having to use their pronouns at work. That I'm hearing that's happening in Alabama, right? I mean, I've got reports. Call it in. 833-68-RIGHT. That's the phone number. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, broadcasting across the greater half of North Alabama. Yeah, I'm talking about from Clanton to the Tennessee line, from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. We are covering some ground these days, man. Hey, I got to tell you, too, a little bit of breaking news that goes right into this segment. So I'm doing number one of the triple dipper is when government goes woke. When government goes woke, and I did my monologue right before that on don't take that knee. Don't bow down when they tell you you have to do what they say. You have to yield to the new mantras that you have to, you know, use the right pronouns or kneel to the BLM activists. I mean, no. How about no? Well, what about this? I just saw two things. Number one, on Twitter, I'm looking at a tweet that was put out. So you may recall that The guy that goes by the name Leah Thomas now, who believes that he is now a woman, who's been, you know, competing in swim competitions and has been, you know, just basically setting all kinds of new records in women's competitions as a guy. Well, she's a guy. So anyway, she was put up for Woman of the Year. He was put up for Woman of the Year. Well, he got beat. He didn't make Woman of the Year. So thankfully, Columbia University's fencer Sylvie Binder is the actual Woman of the Year and not the one that goes by the name Leah Thomas now. So there's that. How about don't bow down? I like that. Here's the other thing that happened. You may have heard, if you haven't, I'll tell you now, Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization, they held a conference just in the last few days down in Tampa, Florida. And the ladies from The View, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, that crew, they came out with some scathing comments about them yesterday. Why? Because there were protesters who showed up outside, and as a counter to the protesters, there were some neo-Nazis that showed up. I saw a video of it. It looked like about six or eight of them, like total. Anyway, these six or eight neo-Nazis showed up with their Nazi flags and were protesting out front. Well, of course, Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg and that crew just castigated Turning Point USA about all the Nazis showing up at their events. Nazis are there at their events as if they were the ones sanctioning it. Turning Point USA didn't want them there. They were on public property, and the police couldn't make them leave until they stepped into private property. And so Turning Point USA doesn't take a knee. They sent a cease and desist letter from their lawyers to the producers of The View. And today, The View members had to apologize on the air because they were given cease and desist or be sued by Wednesday. Well, that's today. So good job, Turning Point USA, for not taking a knee when the View ladies call you out for things that don't even match reality. All right, that was cool. Breaking news, but cool stuff nonetheless. You had a caller a minute ago during the break, Boomer. What was that about?
Yeah, we had a caller, but he didn't want to come on the air. It was Ty White from Moulton. He was basically going back to what you were talking about a little earlier about the federal government not giving, money for the schools for food.
Yeah.
And what he was saying was, what if in Alabama, what if we took that gas tax that we had and apply it to, you know, to the schools, and then they're getting their food, and then we don't have to go about the federal government and stuff.
Well, you know, I don't know if it'd be the gas tax, Ty. I mean, but I hear your point, because we have a record surplus in the education budget right now. So how about we just go ahead and say, hey, you know what, federal government, never mind. We don't want your money, and we'll just go ahead and we'll fund those free and reduced lunches ourselves, and then you can just take a hike. So there's that. Yeah, that's a neat idea. All right, what else have I got here in my stack? I'm doing number one of the Triple Dipper. All this applies. Everything we just talked about is really a kind of a part of number one of the Triple Dipper when government goes woke. We're finding government sometimes in the public school system to include the public universities. And so Fox News has a story dated today, a rather lengthy story, mind you. Parents push back on American colleges promoting diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives. Yeah, and I'm glad to hear parents are pushing back. Don't take that knee, by the way. It says some universities across America are requiring compliance from faculty in the form of signed diversity, equity, and inclusion statements as conditions for tenure or promotion. Kid, gosh. So it's not your job. It's not how well you performed. It's not the level of comprehension gained by your students. It's not whether you've been published or peer-reviewed. No. It's apparently whether you're willing to sign a statement saying you support diversity, equity, and inclusion, which one professor likens to the anti-communist loyalty oaths of the late 40s and 50s. Not a fan. Gotta push back. Got to. Don't take that knee when government goes woke. We got more of that. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.